Rabbi Seinu, Zechronim Levracha, the Chafetz Chaim, Rabbi Chanan, and others, they revealed to us that the tkufa that we're living in now, they already said it then, but certainly now, the tkufa, the era that we're living in right now, is called Ikfasa de Mashiach. They say we don't know how long Ikfasa de Mashiach is, we don't know how long that era is. Is it a short time? Is it a long time? But it's definitely the tkufa before Bias HaMashiach. That's what they said as a dover bor. And the way they knew that was from Chazal. There's a Mishnah all the way on the end of Masech L'Soita, and also Gemara in the last parak of Sanhedrin, that discusses different simonim of the time before Mashiach comes. And just to mention a few very difficult things that will be going on before Mashiach comes. It says, Be'ikvas of the Mashicha, chutzpah yaske. There'll be a lot of chutzpah. I'm just taking out a few. Each one really is a whole shmooze in and of itself. It says, Hamalchus tehafich leminus. The leadership of Klal Yisrael will be apikorsim. Ein teichocha. There won't be an idea of teichocha. People won't help each other by giving mussar to each other. Rabbi Yochum says, the idea of ein teichocha doesn't mean that people won't give mussar. The whole idea of teichocha is foreign. Nowadays, if you tell somebody that he did something wrong, the reaction is, mind your own business. What does it have to do with you? And no one bothers telling me, because why should I tell anyone else? Because mind your own business. The whole idea of teichocha is foreign. Rabbi Yochum says, really, it shouldn't be that way. He says, if for example, you see somebody walking down the street, and he has a very embarrassing stain on the back of his jacket, and you just let him keep going, and you don't tell him anything. Rabbi Yochum says, you're an achzar, you're cruel. He's embarrassing himself, he's hurting himself. Tell him something, how can you do such a thing? So Rabbi Yochum says, same thing, if you see somebody has a stain on his nefesh, it's the most simple thing that you tell him about it and you try to help him. But no, before a decision, mind your own business, leave me alone, I'll do my thing, you do your thing. The whole idea of teichocha is not kind. But we're not getting into each one of the things. Each one is a shmuz in and of itself. Beis vad yel znus. Rashi says that even the beis vad of chachamim, znus and gilya arayis, will seep in. A lot of things. Na'orim p'nei zekenim yalbinu. The young people, the young generation, will not respect the older generation, and a whole list of things of ikhbis in the Mashiach. P'nei ha'dork, p'nei ha'kelev, which a lot of mefarshim discuss, what does that mean? But a lot of difficult things about the door of Ikfas of the Mashiach. And Rabbi Seinu noticed that these things were on the skyim, and Mimela, they declared, we're holding in the time before Mashiach comes. Now, when they said this was 100 years ago, approximately, maybe a little less, maybe a little more, and it could be then, in order to see all these things that were really being fulfilled, you had to be a gadol, like the Chavetz Chaim, Rabbi Chanan. But nowadays, you don't have to be a gadol. You just read the Mishnah, it takes up to a few minutes, read the Mishnah, translate the words. Every single word that's here is on a very, very simple level. Niskayim, 100%. So if Rabbi Seinu told us that we're Nikfas in the Mashiach, certainly nowadays, we're in the Tkufa of Ikfas of the Mashiach. Now, it's very important that they told us about Ikfas in the Mashiach, and the Chazal tell us the signs of Ikfas in the Mashiach. It's very important for two reasons. First of all, you have a heads up, you have a warning, what to be careful about. There's a lot of nisyonis, some of them that I just mentioned, and you have a heads up that these are a nisyon. A lot of times when a person is caught off guard with a nisyon, he doesn't realize it's a nisyon, so then it's harder to be matzliach, to be oimin nisyon. But if you're told before, hello, this is a nisyon, we're putting you to test, there's a reason for this, so it gives a person strength to pass the nisayon. And also, it's very important to know all these signs, because when you see all these difficult nisayonis that we go through, that we see around us, that Klal Yisrael is going through, so knowing that this is Ikfas in the Mashiach is a very bechizik, because we know that this is a process. This is heading somewhere. This is a process going somewhere. It's not just a tzara, which it is, and it's not just a problem, but this is a piece a part, a stepping stone in the process of Mashiach coming. So it's a very, very big chizik. So it's very important to know that we're in the Kvas Mashiach. It's very important to learn each one of these signs of the Kvas Mashiach. But that's what it says. Rabbi Sein already revealed to us this is Ikvas in the Mashiach. But the question, what I want to discuss, is a very interesting. The tzarashav of all these things that it says in the Mishnah is that some of the very basic things that Klal Yisrael always relied on as basic foundations of Yiddishkeit, these things will start deteriorating in front of our very eyes. Like Rabbi Yochum said, Teichacha used to be a very standard, normal thing to do. Now, ain't Teichacha, mind your business. Malchus Teifach Laminus, the leadership of Klal Yisrael was something that was always 100% reliable. And now, no, Lav Dafka is the leadership, different parts, something that's 100% reliable. And Beis Vayil is Nus, the Makam of Kodesh HaKadoshim was always Yeshiva, that was always cornered off. Now Baruch Hashem it is too. But as everyone knows, there's cracks and there's chas v'shalom things from the outside seeping in. These are the very foundations, the very basics of Klal Yisrael, their heretz to our previous dar, and now it's Na'arim Peneis Kenim Yalbinu. All these things which were the very basic foundations of Yiddishkeit seem to be crumbling in front of our eyes, deteriorating and crumbling in front of our eyes. It's a very strange thing. We know that Mitzvah Shem, when Mashiach comes, Klal Yisrael is going to reach a higher level that never was before. Even after the first Beis HaMikdash was built, there was still potential for a Churban, which there was. The second Beis HaMikdash, there was also potential for a Churban, which there was. The third Beis HaMikdash, that's what it says, there's no more Churban. Klal Yisrael will come to their Tikkun HaShalem that we've been waiting for so long, and Klal Yisrael will reach the highest level ever. We'll reach the final Tikkun of Yumaisa Mashiach, leading on to Chaya Olam Haba. This is the final Tikkun, the Spitz, the highest level that we could be waiting for. It's strange that what is the dar that is going to be worthy of this? Is this horrible dar that it sounds like in the Mishnah? This dar that everything's falling apart, everything's crumbling in front of our eyes. That's the dar. Pnei Ador, Pnei Kelev. That's the dar that's going to be Makabel Mashiach. What's the vart? Why should that be? The dar that everything, all the basics of Yiddishkeit are falling apart, and that's punked. The dar that's going to be roi to me makabel pnei Mashiach. How could that be? Why does that? Where do these two things go together? Mashiach is the highest level, and all these things is a low level, the lowest level. Why do the lowest level and the highest level touch in this way in the dar of Ikvas of the Mashiach? It's something that's very, very hard to understand. So I have a thought. It's nageya actually to the Parshas HaShavua. In this week's parasha coming up, Mitzvah Hashem, we have Parshas Chukas, which begins with the Inyan of Parah Aduma. And everyone knows that Parah Aduma is the mitzvah that even Shlomo HaMelech, who was Chacham Mikol Adam, had difficult in understanding. And it says in Chazal that the difficulty was that the Parah Aduma, which is something of Tyra, it's coming to be Matayr from Tumas Meis, which is a very difficult Tuma. So Parah Aduma is an inyan of Tyra, but at the same time that it's Matayr, the Tumeim, it's also Matame Es HaTahirim. All the ones who are being Oisek in the different stages in the preparing of the Efer of the Parah Aduma, they become Tame. But the Parah Aduma that you put on the Tame Meis, that itself becomes Tar. So at the same time, you have the Stira of something that's Matar and Matame at the same time. And that idea, Shlomo HaMelech said, Amarti ech kamavuhu rechoyka mimeni. He chapped everything, but not this. This was too hard to chap. How the same thing could be Tuma and Taira at the same time. It's a source of Tuma and a source of Taira. I saw something very interesting in the Medrash. In the Medrash Rabbah, brings that Parah Aduma is not the only example where you have like this Tarti Desasri. There's two things that associate each other. The Medrash brings another few mitzvahs similar to that, and I'll give one just to bring out a point. One of the mitzvahs that the Medrash says is similar in this respect is the mitzvah of Yibum. The mitzvah of Yibum, what's the mitzvah of Yibum? If you have two brothers, one of them gets married, and then he dies without having any children. So there's a mitzvah for his brother to marry that wife. Lachim lach of shame. That's the mitzvah of Yibum. The mitzvah of Yibum is on Eshes Ach, on the wife of your brother. Now, Eshes Ach, Shaloi b'mokah mitzvah. If he had children, for example, and then his brother wants to marry his wife, his brother's almana, and he had children, it's a chiv of koras. Eshes Ach is an erva. It's one of the arayas of the Torah. It's a terrible avera. And Eshes Ach, at the same time being a terrible avera, is also the source of a mitzvah. That's a similar contradiction like Parah Aduma. Parah Aduma is a source of Tumah and a source of Tyre at the same time. The Isser Eshes Ach, an Ishu's Eshes Ach, is at the same time a source of Avera. Whenever it's done, Shaloi B'Mokhi Mitzvah, it's a terrible Avera of Gili Arayas. But if it's B'Mokhim, that it's Ein Lo'ibonim, that same relationship of Eshes Ach becomes a mitzvah. A mitzvah and an Avera at the same time. And the Chazal compare that on a certain level to Parah Aduma, that's Tumah and Taira at the same time. That's their comparison. The point I want to bring up, which Nageya Tos is as follows. In the mitzvah of Yibum, for example, yes, it is a Tarti Desastri. There's mitzvah and Avera in the same relationship. But if you ask me, do you understand why there's Avera? Yeah, Avada. It's an erva. Just like any relative is an erva, it's also an erva. Do you understand why there should be a mitzvah? Yeah, I understand why there should be a mitzvah. His brother died without children, and he needs lach and lach of shame, so the Torah made a mitzvah. I see room for a mitzvah, and I see room for an avera. But by Parah Aduma, the question over there by Yibam is, how could they both coexist together? But I see an idea of mitzvah, I see an idea of avera. But by Parah Aduma, where is this tumah coming from? Why should there be tumah? I'm asking a more basic question. By Parah Aduma, Shlomo HaMelech couldn't understand how they could coexist, the tumah and the taira. I'm asking another question. Why should Parah Aduma have tumah? Parah Aduma is a matayer. It's coming to be matayer. Why should there be any tumah in Parah Aduma? That's not Shlomo HaMelech's question. Shlomo HaMelech's question was like by Yibam. Just like over there, how could the two things coexist? Question. How could the two things coexist by Parah Aduma? But I'm asking a more basic question. By Yibam, I understand. Is it Inyan of Mitzvah? Is it Inyan of Avera? Both coexisting is very Bechidish. But by Parah Aduma, what is Tumah about it? This is something that was created for Taira. Where is the Tumah? Why is there any Tumah involved in Parah Aduma at all? That's a question. That's not Shlomo HaMelech's question. But Shlomo HaMelech's question, I wouldn't try to answer it. But that's a different question. Where is Tumah? Why Tumah? Why should there be Tumah? This is something that Hashem created for Taira. Why is there Bechlal an Inyan of Tumah in Parah Aduma? So I want to suggest something with a very, very Bechidish. It's not my Chidish. We'll build it from other places, and that might help us for Parah Aduma and for maybe Ikfas of the Mashiach. There's a Mishnah in Avos. The Mishnah in Avos says that there were 10 Nisim that happened daily, or not daily, always, in the Beis HaMikdash. Asara Nisim was in the Beis HaMikdash, Hayulav Aseinu, in the Beis HaMikdash. One of the Nisim that it says, in the, a lot of Nisim, it says one of the things that the smoke of the Mizbeach, the wind never was Misgaber on the smoke, the smoke always went up in a straight pillar, that's a Nis, and a lot of Nisim like that. There was never flies, there was a lot of Nisim like that. One of the Nisim that it says is something shocking. One of the Nisim that it says is there was a Nes in the Beis HaMikdash that the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur never became Tamei. Me'oilam, a Kohen Gadol, never was raw carry, that means he became Tamei, which would disqualify him for the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. That was a Nes in the Beis HaMikdash. If the Mishnah says that was a Nes, that means Alpei Derech HaTeva, naturally speaking, without the help of a Nes, he for sure would have become Tamei. And it was a Nes that he never became Tamei. And that's a Pelet HaKazach. Why, out of all people, on all days, the Kohen Gadol, on Yom Kippur, the most Kaddish person, on Yom Kippur, the most Kaddish day, Al Pi Derech HaTeva, he for sure would become Tamei. Why should he become Tamei? And not only that, in the Mishnayis and Masechtas Yuma, it says that they were concerned that the Kohen Gadol should become Tamei. And they did all types of things to make sure that he wouldn't come tummy. Before Yom Kippur, he was only allowed to eat certain things. just in case it will make him become tamei. And on Yom Kippur, he wasn't allowed to sleep at night. They kept him up the whole night. He darshan, and they kept him up. They smacked him to make sure that he stays up a whole night in order that he shouldn't become tamei. We say this in the davening on Yom Kippur in Musaf, in Avodas Kohen Gadol. All types of ishtadlus was done to make sure that for sure it's not possible for him to see, to become tamei. And nevertheless, what does the Mishnah tell us? Al pi derech hateva, without a nes, he would have become tamei. How could it be such a thing that al pi derech hateva, the Kohen Gadol, the most kaddish person, on the most kaddish day, with all the ishtadlus that nothing should happen, al pi derech hateva vadai, he'll become tamei. How could it be? So the Tosfos Yontif in Mishnayos speaks about it. I saw a pshat once in the Chayyodom. In the Chayyodom, which is really halacha sefer in Hilchos Yom Kippur, in one of the prints of the Chayyodom says the pshat is as follows. And this is a tremendous yisoid that's relevant in everybody's life. The Chayyodom says as follows. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Kedusha and Tumah, the opposite of Kedusha. These are two forces that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in the world. The Metzius is, the Teva is, that Tumah is attracted to Kedusha. That is the Teva in the world. Tumah is attracted to Kedusha. Just like metal is attracted to a magnet attracts iron, that's the Metzius, the Teva in the world, Kedusha is a magnet. It's a magnet for what out of all things? It's a magnet for Tumah. That's the Metzius that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world. And just like in the mushal of a magnet and metal, if you have a very weak magnet, a small magnet, so it has a small koyach of Mashiach, it has a small attraction to pull the metal. If you have a very big, powerful magnet, so then a mamish could pull a heavy piece of metal, even from very far away. The level of the attraction is the level of the magnet. So it's the same thing with Kedusha. Something that has small Kedusha has a small attraction to Tumah. Something that has a big Kedusha attracts Tumah in a greater way. The Kohen Gadol was the most Kaddish person. It says in Chazal that the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur reached the Madrega of a Malach. It says, V'chol Odom lo yeh ba'oil. No Odom could be in the oil on Yom Kippur. Either Kohen Gadol's there, says Chazal, no, he's not like an Odom anymore. Kohen Gadol is the Madrega of a Malach. Kohen Gadol is the highest Kedusha. Yom Kippur is the highest Kedusha. What is the level of that magnet that would attract Tumah? We can't imagine. Just like we can't imagine the level of the Kedusha, we can't imagine the level of the attraction to Tumah, because it's a magnet. That's the Metzius. That's the Teva that Hashem made. Im kein, with all the Hishtadlus in the world, Al Piderach HaTeva, the magnet got so strong, Al Piderach HaTeva, the Tumah would be attracted to this Kohen Gadol with not eating, with staying up all night, I don't care. Al Piderach HaTeva, because of his Darga of Kedusha, because he reached this high level on this Kaddish day, that would be the strongest attraction to Tumah, and naturally, there was no chance for him. He'll become Tumah anyway. That is the Metzius of Tumah and Taira. And Memela, they needed a Nes to protect that. And every year there was that Nes. That was one of the Nesim that happened in the Beis HaMikdash. But it was clear to Chazal that Al Piderach HaTeva Gufa, his Kedusha would be a source of attraction to the Tumah. That's what it says in the Chayyodom. Now it's a very interesting thing. There's a letter of the Ramban. The Ramban is the famous Igeras HaRamban that people learn Moshe Seder. And there's other letters of the Ramban. In the one of the Chidushei Ramban al Hashas, in one of the prints, the older print, it's printed over there a letter of the Ramban. The Ramban, towards the end of his life, moved from Spain to Eretz Yisrael. And he came to Eretz Yisrael. He's buried here in Eretz Yisrael. And he was nifter here. The Ramban came to Eretz Yisrael, and when he was in Eretz Yisrael, he traveled around different parts of Eretz Yisrael, and he went to Mekoy Meis HaKadoshim. Some he went Bein HaZmanim, not during the Zman. But he went to the Mekoy Meis HaKadoshim, and he went to a lot of places all over. And he wrote back to his family in Spain what he sees. And he said he went to all different places, Maran Sech Pela, the Makom HaMikdash, the Koysel, and all different places. And he said, wherever he went was tremendous churban. Eretz Yisrael was in bad shape those days. And wherever he went was tremendous amount of churban. And the Ramban said, the klal, what I saw was, the general rule of what I saw was, Kala Kodesh Mechaveroi Chorov Mechaveroi. Any place that was more Kodesh to us was also in a worse state of destruction. Kala Kodesh Mechaveroi Chorov Mechaveroi. That's what the Ramban says. The Ramban said it. It's the Ramban. You can learn it up like a Ramban. It's not Stam, a statement, he said. Coincidentally, it happened to be Kala Kodesh Mechaveroi Chorov Mechaveroi. The Ramban means this Yisoid. Kala Kodesh Mechaveroi. The place that had more Kedusha, the more Kedusha that it has, the more potential for Churban that it has also. Churban is Tumah, Churban is the opposite. The more that it had potential, or Kedusha that it did have, the more potential for Churban. It's not a coincidence that on the Mokum of the Mikdash, of our Beis HaMikdash, which is Chorav right now, on that place, out of all places in the world, what's right over there? Something of Tumah, a tremendous Tumah is right in that place. It's not a coincidence that they punked took the same spot. It's because fakert. The more kedusha it has, the more it attracts the other side, the tumah, the churban. It's all the same thing. That's what it says in the Ramban. That's the same yisoid that the Chayyadim is explaining. The more kedusha that there is, the stronger the magnet is that could attract other things. We find this in many places. I'll just give another example or two. There's a Gemara that says, in Chagiga, the Gemara says that Torah is compared to Kli Zav, and the Torah is compared to Kli Zchuchas. A Gemara Chagiga, on Daf Yudalit, I think, or Tezvav. The Gemara said Torah is compared, a Pasuk in Iyov, the Torah is compared to Kli Zav, to Kalim that are made out of gold, and the Torah is also compared to Kli Zchuchas, Kalim that are made out of glass. And the Gemara says, why are they doyma to Kli Zav and Kli Zchuchas? The Gemara says, because Torah is something that's kosher l'knoisam k'Kli Zav. It's very hard, it takes a lot of effort. Just like Kli Zav, you can't just buy it. You have to work very hard in order to earn enough money to afford some golden Kalim. So Torah also doesn't come easy. A lot of effort, a lot of ups, a lot of downs. It's hard, it's difficult, you have to pay for it. And then you koina the Kli Zav. But on the other hand, it's also noyach la'abdon k'Kli Zchuchas. Kli Zav, once you bought it, if it falls, you're okay, you pick it up. But Kli Zchuchas, if it drops, boom, it cracks in a second, it breaks to pieces in a second. Torah is kosher l'knoisam k'Kli Zav, and it's noyach la'abdon k'Kli Zchuchas. It has the maila, it sounds like, of Zav, and the chesorin of Zchuchas. The Mashah says, which without getting into all the details, the Mashah says the psukim that the Gemara brings is mashma that those psukim are all discussing the mailas of Torah, not the chesroinus of Torah. So where does this pasuk come in? It has a maila of Torah that it's like Zav, it's very valuable, it's very worth it, it's valuable like Zav. But you know, it has a little bit of a chesaron like Kli Zchuchas. The Teretz is, Lefi, the way we're explaining is like this. The noyach la'abdon k'kli zchuchas, that's a raya how choshev it is. If the Torah was a little bit of choshev, so it wouldn't have such a strong attraction to churban, to being broken. It's a little bit choshev. But the Torah is so choshev, it's so valuable, in inyonei ruchnis, it's so kadosh, that means it's attracting very easily the other side of churban. And memela could be lost in a minute. You can work a whole zman, amelus, I reach madrigas, and how fast, how fragile it is, could I lose it? That's not a chesaron of Torah. That's a raya to the maila of Torah. The Torah is so kodesh, it's like the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur. The Tumah is attracted to it. So memela, it's our Torah also. It's very simple. Why so fast could we lose it? Why so fast could we lose all our efforts and all our koichas we put into it? Because it's so chashuv, it's so kaddish, it's such a strong magnet. Fakert, if you see that the nesoyin to hold on to what you have is so great, that's a raya that you're doing a good job. That means you have a good magnet, you have a strong magnet. If the nesoyin to lose what you have is not such a big nesoyin, that's a question. Why not? Not why yes. People sometimes wonder the opposite. I did so great during this man. It's been his manum comes, I don't know what happened to me. It must be I didn't do good during this man. It's punkt fakert, it's the opposite. If you don't have a big nesoyin to lose what you got, that shows that your magnet is small. If you have a big nesoyin to lose what you have, then noyach la'abdon k'kli zchuchas, That means you have a strong magnet. That means you are gvaldig matzliach. That's the sign of Hatzlacha. The Nisayan is the greatest sign of the Hatzlacha. That's what Torah is. That's the Maila. That's a sign of the Maila of Torah. Because that's what the Chayyadim says, that the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world is that the Tumah is attracted to the Kedusha like a magnet. The level of the Kedusha, that's the level of the attraction that it has. That's what it says. There's many rayas to this, there's many makoiras to this idea. Just one more thing, I'll say that the Alishur Revolba Zatzal brings down B'Shem, the Sefer Tzidkas Atzadik, that's of Reb Tzadik, and he says, Amor Dekazach, everybody knows that everybody has milas and chesroinus. No one's perfect. Everyone has milas and chesroinus. And if a person wants to figure out what his job in life is, what's my goal in life? Of course, a person's life, of course, we have to try to deal with our chesroinus. But the main purpose of a person's life is to develop his milas. That's a known yesod, which not everybody is aware of all the time. Rabbi Yochum speaks about it. The main avoida of us is not to run away from our chesroinus. We have to do that too, because we can't just live with our chesroinus all the time. But that's not the main goal. The main goal is da'asei toif, to find my milas, to find what I'm good at, to find what I have potential in, and develop that to the highest level possible. That's our main goal in Avodas Hashem, to find our milas and develop that to the highest level. How are you supposed to know what your milas are and your chesroinus are? So a person would think, listen, something that I'm really not very matzliach and I have very big Yetzer Hara for, and I always fall over and over again, it must be that's my weak point, and something else is my strong point. Rav Volba brings down from Rav Tzadok, it's exactly the opposite. The area that you find the greatest nesayon in, the area that you find, I try, flop, try, fall, and over again, that's a sign that in that area itself is your greatest potential of good. Why? Like we're explaining. Because if that's the greatest place of potential, that's the greatest magnet. Everybody has different milas. Everyone has different strong points. Your strong point is the greatest magnet in yourself. Your weaker points are a small magnet. So lav dafka when you feel the nesayon all the time. A place that you feel an assayin all the time, that is dafka your magnet. That means it's your biggest magnet. If it's your biggest magnet, it must be your greatest potential. It's mamish punk fakert how a person is used to looking at things. I look at things, the place that I keep on having problems with, fine, that's my weak point. I'll work on something else. It's punk fakert, says Reb Tzadok. It's the opposite. The place that you find most difficult, most nisyonis, most ups and downs, that place is the greatest place where you have potential for perfection, because that is the strongest magnet. The same yesod. That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, that the Kedusha is a magnet for the Inyonim of Tumah. So it's possible to say that that's the Inyon of Parah Aduma also. Parah Aduma, Yashleim HaMelech asked, how could it be that you have a Tarti de Sasri, these two contradictory things, at the same time it's making Tumah and Tyre at the same time? He can't fathom how that works. Just like by Yibam, Eshesach, Mitzvah Avera, the same Isha, the same relationship, is Mitzvah Avera at the same time? It can't be. But we ask something else. Why Tumah? This is the whole thing is Tyre. The whole creation of Parah Aduma was to be Matar the Tumayim. What's the reason why there's any Tumah over here? The teretz maybe is with this yesoid, fakert. If it's so tahar, it can't exist without any outlet of tumah. The tyra of Parah Aduma is so tahar, it has to attract tumah. How could this tyra exist in the world? This tyra is bound to become tumah, just like the Kohen Gadol is bound to become tumah because he's so kaddish, it attracts tumah, and you need a nace to block that out. So what about Parah Aduma? Parah Aduma is also pure Tyra. So that's also a strong magnet. That's a magnet for Tumah. So how could this exist in the world? The only way is if, yes, it's a magnet for Tumah, and Hashem gave a place where the Tumah could be Chal. If the Tumah wouldn't be Chal, that all the people who are asking him in the Parah Aduma will become Tameh, then the Parah Adumah's Taira couldn't exist. It needed the outlet of Tumah. It can't just, it's not possible to exist such a level of Taira without any Tumah unless there's a Nes. By Kohen Gadol, there was a Nes. Over here, the Torah did something else. Yes, there will be a great attraction for Tumah. That Tumah will be Metameh. The people are oisking in the Torah, in the Parah. But the Parah itself will remain with its Taira. But without that, the Taira couldn't exist. Just like the Kohen Gadol needed a Nes, who did the Parah Adumu also needs an outlet for the Taira. Otherwise, that attraction of Taira, of Tumah, will ruin the whole thing. So there has to be some outlet for the Tumah. That's the inyan of Parah Adumah. And what I would like to think is maybe that's the inyan of Ikfas of the Mashiach also. We said on the one hand, Ikfas of the Mashiach, Mashiach's times, when Mashiach comes, Klal Yisrael will be reaching the highest Madregas. The highest Madregas that we ever were. There'll be no more Chorban. Klal Yisrael will come to their full-fledged Tikkun. What we've been waiting for so long. On the one hand, it's the biggest Taira, the biggest Kedusha. And if we're in the door of Ikfas the Mashiach, that means we're on the verge of all that. We're on the verge of that high Madrega. But at the same time, what does Chazal tell us about this Ikfas the Mashiach? Everything falls apart. Everything deteriorates. All the tremendous nesyonis of Minus, of Znos, of Teichocha, of Pnei Adar, of Pnei Akelav, all the tremendous things that it says in that Mishnah, everything falls apart. How does that stem? We're on the verge of the greatest Shlemos, and we're in the worst matzav ever. The Teretz is Fakert. That's the biggest Raya. The Raya that we're in the verge of the greatest Shlemos is because there's such a strong attraction to everything else. Why is this door so attracted to everything that it says in this Mishnah? Why is there so many Sionis in this door that we're facing, that we're living in? Why? Fakert. That's the reason. Because we're on the verge of this tremendous Madrega, like the Kohen Gadol going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so Kodesh, Memeila is an attack of Tuma. So that's what we're experiencing right now. That's the Ikfas of the Mashiach. There's attack of Tuma around us because we're on the verge of Shlemus. It's not, how could it be? It has to be. Because of that, we're on the, because of the verge of Shlemus, the Kedusha that we're heading to, that's the reason why there are so many Nisyonis. And for sure, just like the Kohen Gadol needed a Nes, we also need a Nes, and we have that Nes. When you have Bochrim, Yungalait, despite all the facts going, all the things going on around them, in the world, in their lives, around everybody, they manage to throw themselves into Torah, to come to yeshiva, to work on a Tosfos, to work on a Rashi, to work on a Sugya, and care about it, despite the fact everything around the world is distracting us, and we're here, and we're managing to put our heads into the Kedushas HaTorah. That's taka, a tremendous nes, and that's the nes that every yeshiva bachar in this generation, including this yeshiva, this beautiful yeshiva, is zaychatu, to keep up in the nesyonis, to be oimed in the nesyonis of Ikfas of the Mashiach. But it's very important to understand it. Where it's coming from. Stam, a person usually we see, all in the Sionis, what are we already? It's not what are we already, it's punk fakert. This is the greatest raya. The koshala abdom kaklis chuchas, the fact that Torah is so fragile, that's a raya to the greatness of Torah. The fact that the Kohen Gadol might become Tomei on Yom Kippur is the raya to the greatness. The difficulties that we go through, the nesyonis that we have, that's the raya of the special opportunity and the special tkufa that we're living in. And it's Hashem, we should all be zeicha taka to be oimin the nesoyin and appreciate our matziv. And it's Hashem to be zeicha to Mashiach.